Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. An editor-in-chief recently wrote, quote, "Many Americans no longer trust organized religion, corporations, capitalism, their employers, politicians, or the media. We do not share a common set of facts and values. We have self-sorted and retreated into our own worlds, our own websites, social media feeds, cable networks, and communities. Separated by impenetrable walls of tribal loyalty, we cannot come together to solve our problems, even when they're killing us," end quote. This is both true and scary. Ending the name-calling and accepting the fact that others can disagree with us and still be great people is our challenge and responsibility. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is, of course, Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, there are bad people out there with guns. That makes it more important for good people to be out there with guns too, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Colonel. And you and I are two of those good people. So good people with guns protect against bad people with guns. That's the way it is. It's not the gun. It's the heart of the individual who is bearing the gun.
You mean my gun doesn't have a sense of values?
No, it doesn't. Just a hunk of metal and polymer.
Yeah, that's true. Well, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss our nation's need to get our culture and morals under control by returning to our founding documents and culture. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Army General and former police officer Paul Mock will then discuss the dumb situation our police find themselves in. Then we'll discuss a book on World War II Medal of Honor recipient Woody Williams. Next, we'll meet Army Specialist Derek Safering. He's a member of the Mounted Color Guard at Fort Riley, Kansas. And Army veteran Ben Sledge will discuss his book, Where Cowards Go to Die. It's cool.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. First, the news. We've got a little different format today. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
National security. How volunteers can help defeat great powers. The vast majority of Ukraine's volunteers would never pass the physical fitness test of our Army. And yet earlier this year, they pulled off a great feat almost unparalleled in modern warfare. They helped defeat one of the largest standing armies in the world and held the capital.
This is a bit like our Revolutionary War, and one of the reasons our Second Amendment allows our citizens to be armed.
China threat. Taiwan touts new Air Force advanced training jet's abilities. Taiwan's Air Force showed off its new locally designed and made jet trainer earlier this month, touting the more advanced combat-capable abilities of the aircraft that will replace aging and accident-prone existing equipment.
This is great. Nations need to take steps to defend themselves, not just sit around and wait till we show up to defend them. I'm glad we're standing with Taiwan.
Russia threat. Russian army recently turned Ukraine's largest nuclear plant into a military base. Landmines and missile launchers are deployed at Zaporizhia, as cameras and instruments went dark and workers are now held for ransom. Russia-Ukraine war. List of key events for day 133. Earlier this month, Ukrainian President Zelensky said air alerts rang out across almost all of Ukraine one night as there were attacks in the Khmelnytsky region of western Ukraine, the central region of Dnipropetrovsk, the border region of Sumy, and the Black Sea port city of Mykolaiv and its region. The very high cost of Russian gains in Ukraine may limit any new advance. After more than 4 months of ferocious fighting, Russia claimed a key victory, full control over one of the two provinces in Ukraine's eastern industrial heartland. Russia's offensive gains pace in Donetsk, focus shifts to Slavyansk. After sweeping through Luhansk, Russian forces are now gaining ground in the neighboring Donetsk region. Both are part of the prized industrial Donbas heartland of eastern Ukraine that Moscow is seeking to control. Oh, and Finland has seized hundreds of Russian freight cars as EU sanctions bite. Finland has seized nearly 1,000 freight cars belonging to Russian companies as a result of European sanctions, according to Finnish state-owned rail operator VR and a letter from Russia's rail monopoly seen by Reuters.
Russia's paying a huge price for this war. The Ukrainian response is often referred to as a Red Dawn response. For those of you who don't remember that movie, the film depicts the United States that has been invaded by the Soviet Union and its Cuban and Nicaraguan allies. However, the onset of World War III is in the background and not fully elaborated. The story follows a group of American high school students who resist the occupation with guerrilla warfare, naming themselves the Wolverines after their high school mascot. One big issue, money. The total financial support provided by all the European nations is much less than 10% of what we, the United States, are giving Ukraine. Europe needs to step up their support, big time.
International security. Spain boosted military spending to close gap with the NATO goal. Spain is increasing military spending as it works toward meeting a NATO commitment by dedicating 2% of gross domestic product to defense, the government said. An explosive killed at least two UN peacekeepers in North Mali. At least two United Nations peacekeepers were killed and five severely wounded in northern Mali when a logistics convoy hit an improvised explosive device, said the UN peacekeeping mission. Oh, and our Navy is paying $100,000 for tips on smuggling drugs and guns in the Persian Gulf. Are you a smuggler or do you know one? Do you know about transporting guns and drugs into, say, certain countries near the Gulf of Aden? Do you want some money? If you've answered yes to those questions, then here is a proposition from our Navy. Provide some information that leads to the seizure of illicit cargo, and the Navy will pay you up to $100,000. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, I'm glad to see that Spain sees the threat of Russia and is doing something about it. I feel sorry for the UN peacekeepers, but I'm not sure that their program is really well run. And gee, I could use $100,000. I'm going to go find me a smuggler. This can't be real, but it is.
U.S. military in space. Stunned by UFOs, exasperated fighter pilots get little help from our Pentagon. About 8 years ago, in April 2014, four naval aviators narrowly escaped disaster. Just as they entered highly controlled airspace for a training exercise, their two FA-18F fighter jets nearly collided with an unidentified flying object, a UFO. To the frustration of dozens of their fellow aviators, such a near catastrophe was inevitable. There have been many other sightings and no action by the Pentagon. Oh, this is new. Our Pentagon has ended blocking of abortion-related sites on computer networks. The Pentagon has quietly lifted a long-standing ban that prevented troops and civilians from searching for abortion-related terms on the department's computer networks, a move that follows the Supreme Court's landmark decision to overturn Roe v. Wade last month. And our Navy is searching for a case of missiles that fell off a helicopter in the Pacific Ocean. Yes, a case of missiles fell off of a helicopter into the Pacific Ocean last month.
So our Pentagon is still not dealing with the possibility of UFOs, and abortion research is now okay on military computers. I wonder how that helps combat readiness. And we've lost more weapons into the ocean? Doesn't this make you feel really proud about the leadership of our military? I'm glad I'm not on active duty anymore. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can help you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some more wisdom. Then we'll talk law enforcement with General Paul Mock. At ease, troops, take a break.
This is Lieutenant Colonel retired John Barry, managing partner of Barry Law. For over 50 years, Barry Law has defended the rights of Americans, both on the battlefield and in the courtroom. We are committed to supporting our fellow service members. If you need help appealing your VA disability decision, find us at PTSDlawyers.com or call 888-883-2483.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Look like sheep and you'll be eaten by wolves. According to interviews done with armed robbers, you are far more likely to be targeted by criminals if you look weak and helpless. Carry yourself with pride and military bearing because many criminals can spot a soft target with one glance. Stay alert and aware of your surroundings. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Day 3 Creation is a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products. Our Get Relief, Give Relief program sees that 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing service dogs at no cost to disabled veterans to help restore their physical and emotional independence. Giving is an expression of our thankfulness and praise to God as we recognize that everything we have belongs to the Lord. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check PatriotFoods.com. That's PatriotFoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Our nation, America, is falling apart. Our morality is in decline, and our population is starting to note. Half of Americans, a record high number, now rate U.S. morals as poor, according to a recent Gallup poll. And only 38%, an all-time low, said they were extremely proud to be Americans. Okay, most of those polled were proud, but not extremely proud. Major cities across our nation saw a violent 4th of July weekend earlier this month. The report saying there were people were shot in Chicago, in Houston, and more in Baltimore. In Chicago, 9 people died. Another 48 were shot and wounded over the weekend. Last year, over 19 were shot and killed, and 100 more injured during that same time period. Oh, yes, and there are the attacks and threats on the lives and families of Supreme Court justices for how they voted. And go back a little bit, there's the damage, injury, and death caused by the mainstream media-supported Black Lives Matter riots. I mean, who really cares if they want to burn down a police station and kill everyone in it? And the riot at the Capitol on January 6th. As my mother used to say when I was trying to convince her that I didn't do something that I really did, your actions speak so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. Consideration of others is the leading indicator of this moral decline, followed by a bit by racism, discrimination. We really didn't need a poll to tell us about our decline in morality. The increases in all kinds of violent crime makes that clear, as does our society's fixation on all kinds of inappropriate sexual practices and on self-absorption in general. Look at Disney. The decaying morality of our culture is enough to make any person who's just trying to live a decent, honest life throw in the towel and give up. But there is a solution. And it was laid out by one of our founding fathers in the first year of our nation's independence. Declaration signer John Witherspoon, speaking in his 1776 sermon, The Domination of Providence Over the Passions of Men, said, quote, "Nothing is more certain than that a general corruption of manners makes a people ripe for destruction. Such destruction may be prevented if good government's in place," he said, "but only for a time, for beyond a certain pitch, even the best constitution will be ineffectual and slavery must ensue." Many in America may well wonder if we've gone beyond that certain pitch, for some elements of slavery, better today called taking away our freedom, seems to proliferate across our nation through the laws that are passed, through the speech that is hindered, and through the ideologies that are forced on us. One personal example, Facebook has thrown me out. Likewise, enemies threaten to oppress us, whether countries such as China or at our southern border or even in our local neighborhoods. But there is a way to thwart those enemies. Witherspoon told us, quote, when the manners of a nation are pure, when true religion and internal principles maintain their vigor, the attempts of the most powerful enemies to oppress them are commonly baffled and disappointed. This is not some simple religious mantra or naivete, Witherspoon assures us. Rather, it is something that nature itself confirms. Here's Witherspoon's path to success. Quote, he is best friend to American liberty, who is most sincere and active in promoting true and undefined religion, and who sets himself with the greatest firmness to bear down profanity and immorality of every kind. Whoever is an avowed enemy to God, I scruple not to call him an enemy to this country. It is therefore your duty in this important and critical season to exert yourselves, everyone in his proper sphere, to stem the tide of prevailing vice, to promote the knowledge of God, the reverence of his name and worship, and obedience to his laws, end quote. Our culture tells us that religion stinks and that those who follow God and his laws of morality are prudes and bigots and must be run off. But as Witherspoon told us, it is those who stand firm on following God's laws, also teaching them to others, who have the power to save a nation about to slip into the abyss. Simply living in a right way ourselves, going to church, walking in the right relation with God, being honest in our business practices, raising our children to be kind and respectful, and then encouraging others to do the same thing, will go a long way towards stemming the tide of prevailing vice. So we start with ourselves. When each of us lives by good, high morals, walking in God's ways, those ways can't help but spread to others. We need to pray and put feet to our prayers. We are required to be good stewards of what God has given us, and he's given us the best nation in the world. So before you vote for anyone, be as sure as you can that he or she shares these values too. And be certain that the candidate really understands economics. It's not wise to vote for someone into office who doesn't know how to do the job. God does expect us to use the brain he gave us. It's time for us to love God and be grateful for the wonderful nation we're living in. Yes, it's a mess right now, but it's still the best nation in the world. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
There's a federal law called the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act, or USERRA, which Congress created to protect part-time service members' employment and accommodation rights. Recently, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 5-4 in favor of a former Texas trooper and Army Reserve captain who lost his job over military-related illness and sued the state for violating that law. As part of the case, Texas had argued that states, just like the federal government, are protected by sovereign immunity and cannot be privately sued without their consent. However, Justice Stephen Beyer, writing for the majority, said that states do not have immunity from private lawsuits by veterans under USERRA. Allowing states to have such immunity would permit them to, quote, thwart national military readiness. Upon entering the Union, the states agreed that sovereignty would yield to federal policy to build and keep a national military. States thus gave up their immunity from congressionally authorized suits pursuant to the plan of conventions and as part of the structure of the original Constitution itself. The Supreme Court's decision sends the case back to Texas, where it will be tried on its merits. Army Reserve Captain Leroy Torres deployed in 2007 to Joint Base Balad in Iraq, an installation with a 10-acre open-air burn pit that belched smoke day and night over nearby work sites and quarters. Torres developed constrictive bronchitis, a debilitating lung condition, and other symptoms as a result of the exposure to the smoke. When he returned home to Texas, he sought to continue working as a state trooper, but his respiratory condition prevented him from performing operational duties, and while he requested an administrative position, he was instead encouraged to resign and told he must do so in order to apply for disability retirement. Then, the state rejected his disability retirement application. Torres sued for more than $1 million in lost wages and retirement pay, arguing that the state was required to make accommodations for his service-connected disability. Texas moved to dismiss the case, claiming sovereign immunity. The lower court denied the claim, but an appellate court reversed, and the case made its way up to the Supreme Court. Now, this case could have legal implications for any veteran who has been fired or pressured to resign from their state job as a result of their military service. There's roughly 800,000 current or former Reserve and National Guard members who work in state and local governments. And Congress created USERRA precisely to protect service members' employment and accommodation rights. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really appreciate your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss police officers in our nation with General Paul Mock. Then we'll talk with author Brian Riggs about Medal of Honor recipient Woody Williams. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Start with 40, take a break, do another 30, then stand at ease. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show retired General Paul Mock. Paul served much of his Army career in the reserve components. His day job was as a Los Angeles police officer. And today we're going to discuss cops. Thanks for joining us today, Paul.
Hey, Danny, how are you this morning?
It's a beautiful day in Michigan, and I hope it is everywhere.
Yeah, beautiful day in the neighborhood. We finally got a little bit of rain yesterday in Texas. Been dry and hot, so we're glad to have it.
I believe you. I've lived there, and I believe you. Paul, start by giving us a quick review of your military service and then your police service.
Well, I was blessed to have a career just serving with so many great people in different capacities. Like I said, my day job was I did 25 years LAPD, 1973 through 98. I worked a whole bunch of different assignments, mostly centered around uniform kind of things, and which is like what I kind of preferred. And then originally started out in 1972 after getting a commissioner ROTC, went into the Army and was faced with the Vietnam RIF, the drawdowns. And so a bunch of us were told you're going into the reserves. So I went in the reserves and stayed there for just about 37 years, infantry, PSYOP, special forces. Did a little bit of IG work and ended up as a logistician, which turned out to really be kind of a highlight of my career, just working with those very, very smart people that fuel and feed and maintain our fighting forces. It was all good. And then I did a four-year tour as the national chair for employer support of the Guard and Reserve after I retired. And that was just a wonderful opportunity. I traveled between the Virgin Islands and Saipan and hit almost every state in between, meeting with just great patriots, business leaders, CEOs, and very, very small level entrepreneurs that were just great Americans.
But there's downsides to everything, because I think that's when you met me.
Yeah.
Okay. Our topic today is the police. As a background, violent crime today in our country everywhere is on the rise. And many communities, most that I know about, have a reduction or a theme of reducing the police, either in the numbers or their support or whatever. Many police departments are understaffed. It's clear that a police officer gets into any kind of violent contact with a minority, he's going to be attacked as a racist and all that stuff. And one wonders why anyone would want to be a cop in these circumstances. But with an increase in crime and a decrease in police officers, we need not just cops, but good, well-trained, experienced cops. Can you give us sort of an overview of your perspective? And do you see it about the way I do?
Yeah, I still have a lot of friends and a few family members that are still connected to law enforcement. As we talked about last month we celebrated National Police Week. And, you know, that's a time to honor the men and women who risk their lives every day, to honor fallen comrades and make sure their families are supported. But we're experiencing some very unprecedented times right now. And we're living in a day where we're experiencing a straight line effort led by progressives to undermine law and order, to change our culture, instill anarchy, and install a new order into the American culture. And, you know, if you just look at some of the recent comments that have come out about some elected leaders threatening the U.S. Supreme Court with discipline for recent rulings, as you say, crimes on the increase, there's just a lot of detractors to law enforcement recruiting right now. And there is a recruitment and retention challenge. And I kind of look some of this stuff up because, you know, I hear things, but I always kind of want to try to validate it as best I can. But the Police Executive Research Council, you know, just recently, April 2020 to March 2021, you know, police resignations rose at 18%, while retirements jumped 45%. And large departments across the country faced a 36% reduction in recruitment. Well, you don't have to be a statistician to figure out pretty quick that you're going to start running out of people. And the International Association of Chiefs reported that 78% of law enforcement agencies report difficulty in recruiting qualified applicants. And in New York, 2,600 officers retired in 2020, according to police statistics, after 1,500 retirements the year before. In Portland, a lot of officers were either resigning or retiring. In Seattle, resignations increased 123 from 34, and retirements are increasing as well. And so if you look from my personal experience and talking to many of those people who are still or have just recently left law enforcement, you mentioned the defund the police movement, the non-prosecution and lack of prosecution of criminals, the high crime rates, assaults, ambushes, and a lack of support for management and elected leaders. And I about fell down, Danny, when I saw senior police executives kneeling and lying and prostrating themselves in front of various groups during the summer of outrage in 2020. I just could not believe my eyes. And that has to have just a detrimental effect on morale.
Well, it does. And why would you want to work in that environment? But as a consumer, as a guy who counts on our police, I want there to be enough police. I want them to be good people. I want them to be well cared for. And I want them to be experienced. You can have the nicest, best, happiest person in the world as a cop, but if he's only been in the job 6 months, he's not ready to handle most of the stuff compared to one that's been there 5 years or 10 years. We need not only to recruit them, but keep them. Am I right?
Yeah. And when, you know, I often tell a story about, and I worked down in South Central LA for a number of years. And, you know, the crime rates back in the 70s and 80s were pretty high. In fact, they were very high. And we had, you know, the emergence, well, what I consider kind of the emergence of the Bloods and the Crips and those things back in the early 70s. And people would just bar themselves in their houses, you know, trying to just keep their families safe. You know, all the larcenies, the assaults, the shootings, the murder rates were very significant. But you know, we made a lot of arrests. I mean, it wasn't unusual to, you know, make multiple arrests per shift. And that was for just about everybody working in a lot of different segments of the society in the Los Angeles area. But I found the biggest supporters were the population themselves. You had the backing of the citizens in the area, and they'd come to the station, they'd bring food during the holidays, they would bring, you know, either meals into the station or invite officers to come to their house during their shift for holiday meals. And these people really appreciated, for the most part, you know, what we were trying to do. And today, I'm just not sure that's the same case. You know, you look at the anarchy that's encouraged by some elected officials, and I'm not going to mention anybody by name. I don't need to. We all know who they are. And this attitude that what's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right, and what's up is down, and what's down is up. And the disrespect and dismantling of our law enforcement, and now the institution is a rally cry for many to defund the police, disable their abilities to go out and perform their jobs. And many officers have told me, and I'm sure this isn't the case everywhere. I know it's not true right around here where I live, but a lot of the police work now, because of the fear of recrimination from the public, the media, from the senior law enforcement executives, and the elected leaders, is that why should I go out there and risk myself if I do not have the backing of those people? And I run the risk of termination before any review is done if I've done something that's perceived as wrong, and then the threat of lawsuits and perhaps prosecution. And for some of them, it's just too much, and they just don't want to do that.
Well, that's logical. I mean, that means that they're thinking. Those are the kind of people we want as cops. There's more to discuss about law enforcement, and Paul's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, many days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success? You.
We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with retired Army General and retired police officer Paul Mock about the police crisis in our nation. Paul, you sort of alluded to this before, that officers have to put their lives at risk, maybe not their lives, but their careers at risk every time they do something. And if they don't trust their leadership, why should they? When a police officer is in a situation where it could be life-threatening, you see something that could be a gun, or somebody that you're trying to talk to suddenly starts fighting you, you have to assume the worst, don't you? You have to assume that person wants to hurt you bad and kill you. If you play easy with somebody who's going to play hard, you're going to lose. If you get knocked down and knocked out, they can take your gun. Don't you have to handle violence directed at you incredibly aggressively?
Yeah, and there's a lot of training that goes into what they call de-escalation of force, and it's evolved quite a bit since when I first went on in 73. But we were trained not to step into a violent situation, or not to provoke it. But if it happens, you're in control, you're in command, you're in charge, you're the best trained, and you react very suddenly and forcefully and end the situation as rapidly as possible. And, back in the old days, we used to have the police, what they used to call chokeholds. We had a bar arm, which was eventually outlawed, and then they went to the carotid, modified carotid stuff, those upper body control holds, which were extremely effective. And, you could take a violent suspect down in just seconds and have him handcuffed. And when he woke up, he or she woke up, usually it was a he, You know, you're getting them out and putting them in the back seat of the police car. Today, you know, that tool's been taken away. And if you look at a policeman today, or a police officer today, or a deputy sheriff today, they got so much equipment on their belts. I don't know how they get in and out of the cars. But the emphasis is on de-escalation and not provoking anybody, and to try to talk people down and de-escalate the situation so there's not a violent confrontation. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in many cases, it's gotten to the point where the officers set themselves up to become the victims of violent attack. And a lot of times they don't act. In many cases, they don't react with the same level of force and speed that they might have in prior times because of the fear of prosecution and being terminated and sued. And today, every incident, and you've seen this, I've seen this, just about everybody's seen it, cameras are everywhere. And so people will see you dying on the street, and people will pull out video cameras and watch you die rather than help you. And it's the same thing with law enforcement. If they see a police officer in an altercation, they'll stop and film it rather than saying, "Officer, what can I do to help you?" Now, you do see some examples where Good Samaritan citizens run to the officer's aid. But many times, if you watch the news clippings of these violent confrontations, you know, everybody's filming. And the officers are very conscious of that. They don't want to be caught in something that compromises their safety and increases their liability on certain situations because of a one-sided video that's portrayed or captured and then sent into the authorities and said, "Look what this officer did." And so there's kind of a dichotomy of purpose here, because you got the officers on one hand that are trying to do the right thing, and then you've got a very popular version of on the street recording and reporting by amateurs who are in it for one thing, and that's to get hits on their YouTube channel or whatever the heck they're posting on their social media. And it's a problem. It's a real problem.
Okay, well, there's no doubt that it's a problem. I mean, that's a really safe bet. But we got to do something. We're going to be a lawless society. And so while we're reducing the number of police officers and while we're making the ones we have more cautious instead of assertive in protecting us, they're also trying to disarm us. This is a crazy time to be alive. The question is, what should we be doing as citizens? Let's try to come up with a call to action. What do we want our listeners, the citizens in America, the ones who love America, what can we do?
Well, the first thing I would say is you vote. That's the most powerful tool we as citizens have. You know, identify candidates who are pro-law enforcement and those that support the right to self-defense, the right for people to possess those kinds of items, such as firearms, that allow them to protect themselves and know how to use them. People also need to understand the law. But beyond that, the ballot box is our most important tool to electing those kinds of officials into office that will support law enforcement. You know, I was reading one article the other day, and it talked about how low pay is in certain cities. And so the solution from the consultants that were advising this department, well, you need to raise the pay. Well, that's just a small part of it. People, the law enforcement officers will not go to work or don't want to go to work in an environment, as we've been discussing, where one, they're not backed up. Two, the public, the perception is that they want to defund them. They want to dismantle them. In many cases, they hate them. You know, they want to be supported in the community and realize that there's a sense of worth for the job that they're doing. And if that's not there, you're going to continue to see shortfalls in police recruiting. And you're going to see more and more officers leaving the job prematurely. One of our greatest assets in law enforcement is that officer that's been on for 5 or more years, who has that kind of experience, who's seen, you know, so many different variations of the same kind of call and understands the options available to de-escalating certain situations, how to handle different situations, understanding the circumstances, being able to empathize with the victims, and to some part, maybe even the perpetrators, understanding why maybe they did something. Because, you know, not all perpetrators are inherently evil people. You know, people just do some bad things and stupid things at certain times. But it's this process of education of the public, educating yourself on which politicians will support law enforcement, not just in words, but in deeds. And who is actually going to go out there and help us build good, solid policing agencies that represent the will of the people and assure the safety of the public. Because if we don't have the rule of law and order, you're going to see, or could potentially see, you know, nationwide what's happening along the South Texas border. And that's a, you know, it's tribalism. You know, we're losing the sense of nationalism and citizenship in many parts of the country because, you know, if there's no border, if there's no law enforcement, it's just chaos.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with retired Los Angeles police officer Paul Mock. Paul, we're about out of time, but let me ask you a quick question. You've been in law enforcement. I have a concealed pistol permit. I often carry a firearm. If I'm in a situation where I have to use it and the police aren't there yet, how do I respond when the police show up?
That's a great question. There was just something in the news the other day that I saw where police accidentally shot the good Samaritan, the good citizen that was had responded to a violent situation by arming himself, and the police mistook him. First thing I would do if I knew that the police were arriving is I'd either reholster the gun or put it on the ground to get my hands up and identify yourself clearly. You know, you do not want to put that officer who's responding in a situation where the adrenaline's up, where, you know, the fog of war is prevalent, where they don't know what's, they don't have a clear picture understanding what's happening, and you get mistaken as one of the bad guys. And that has happened. And I cannot imagine being a policeman being put in that situation where you have to, you know, shoot somebody that was there, you know, for the wrong reason. But, so but that, still, that's what I would do. But I would clearly identify. Also, you know, when you call the situation in, when you call 911 and report what's happened, I would identify myself. You know, let's say, you know, I'm described, I'm a white male, I'm wearing black shorts and a white t-shirt. Uh-huh. I am armed. I just, and tell them what happened. And I'm standing by the yellow pickup truck and I'm waiting for the officer's arrival. And as soon as the police, you know, let the officers know, have a clear understanding of what they're getting into and who they're looking for so that they're not surprised.
Makes sense. Paul, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service, our nation in both uniformed, Army and police. And thank you for your insights today. I'm proud to call you friend.
Been my pleasure.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Brian Riggs about World War II Marine Medal of Honor recipient Woody Williams. Then we'll talk with a member of the Mounted Color Guard from Fort Riley, Kansas. And combat vet Ben Sledge will share about his book, Where Cowards Go to Die. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Truth, I'm not fond of pain, and I absolutely won't use addicting products. That's why I can recommend Day 3 Creation products if you're in pain. Use the code FREEDOM when you order at day3creation.com. Save 20%. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones, then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.